upstairs, and I'd like to introduce the next act, which is a double act, between Anshuman Dasgupta and Sanjay Ghosh, who's sitting over there. Anshuman is a curator and part of the art history faculty at Pallavaram Visvabharati University, the Shantanikatan campus, and is also a PhD student at Goldsmiths. Long-standing PhD student at Goldsmiths. And you know each other. And Sanjay Ghosh is an artist and a theatre designer, and it teaches in the painting faculty at Visvabharati of Kalaravan. So it's great to have you with us. Thank you very much. And I hand over to you. Thank you.
I totally roughly as stable in translation and touches. I will partly read it out, partly kind of, it will be kind of, the scheme is that partly it will be performative, partly kind of it is read out, and partly it's interpretive, you know, of text and things. I'll probably kind of occasionally break into my native tongue, Bengali, and then translate it back. So that starts to give a sense of probably certain kind of discontinuity between this space and that space that we inhabit, the inhabited space. And also, Shantanu will intervene in terms of a certain performative aspects, which I'll not disclose now. You'll probably spring a surprise. And a little bit of text, verbal quotation from the performances that people did of Tagore. Now, from yesterday's talk, as an extension of that, I can say that, or in continuation with that, I could say that, she brought it out very nicely that how Polish adaptation of Tagore had been kind of, you know, very vigorous in terms of its activities, like 5 times it got translated, and then 3 television productions, and then several staging. So it sort of was in demand, the post office of Tagore. But then there is another play which is much less known outside India and largely Bengal, is Raktakarabi or Red Oleander, which is not translated outside, so much outside India. It was just recently translated into English by an Indian guy. Partly because of the ambiguity and layering that is there, which I say that in case of Dakar is our post office is largely missing to some extent, because post office was written over 3 days. He didn't put so much of energy into it, according to him, but it got a wide reception all over the world. So that surprised him, and Tagore thought that the second layer of this presentation is that Tagore thought culture requires translation, and translation, I mean, like, interpretation is culture, basically. Culture means interpretation and translation across the languages and cultures. And first I begin with a tribal person's interpretation of Tagore and his own travails in interpreting Tagore. Say, for instance, Boro Basque, who I interviewed a few days back, said in a very shocking phrase, how Santali people cannot be educated in some of the languages. Say, for instance, in Bengali. In the schools, they don't understand, nor do the teachers understand their tongue, or because they understand many things from gesture. So we don't generally take gestures very seriously. But then young kids take gesture very seriously. So he said that about education, there's a serious anomaly in education. He says that they pee in their pants since they hush it up, since they can't express it. I mean, young kids, they sort of piddle in their pants and because they can't express that feeling, that need in the class, because they think it's uncouth to say that to the teacher. And So I asked the next question, so he said that that's the first answer he gave about education. And next he says that, do Tagore come to you as relevant? He says, yes. He said about nature, the contact with nature and surroundings. And education fails if it fails to be in touch with the surroundings. I ask the third question, what about translation? He says there is a link, their culture and the culture in the surrounding, which involves the song of the nature and the romantic call to go to the village, native villages for the tribals, is a necessity which cannot be defined by realistic principles. So they say that even if somebody who employs them, offer them everything, they want to go back for 15 days in a year, or a half a month, or a month in a year, back to the native village, it might be 300-400 kilometers away. So he says that cultural translations are not necessary, even and equal everywhere. So we sort of, in that note, we sort of go through a few bit of Tagore's in its translatory aspect. I have two plays in mind, which talks about the multiplicity of context of reception. First play is Dankar of the Post Office. The second is Rakta Kalabi or Red Oleander. The first play, that is Dankar, is a single written text. In Dankar, the only handwritten manuscript written over just 3 days in the month of March or April in 1912, that is 102 years back, was added to when finally published as a book form, in the book form. It got translated in Macmillan version in 1914. The major inclusion were the characters of the following, are the flower girl Sudha, which is not there in the text. Raja is an absent Raja or king who doubles up and yet doesn't disintegrate. The king produces ambiguity, for he opens the post office with a banner opposite to Amal's window. He is the agency of deliverance. Among all the others, only Amal truly believes in his existence, though everyone else assured Amal of his existence while not completely believing in his existence. Here we see the picture of an enactment of Dankar in Nairobi. The mise-en-scene tells us about the whole exoticizing and spectacular kind of exercises that transcultural translation involves. You can see a kind of fairly orientalist backdrop on the left, to your right, and the same principle that yesterday we were told about girl enacting Amal's role is being played out. But what you see instead is this card man or the milk seller, the milkman here, who is less exoticized than in the Calcutta version. In Calcutta version, you get to see that a milkman who is kind of decked up with all kinds of best dresses, and Tagore enters while they rehearse. And Tagore says, well, you have dressed up very well, but you have produced an ideal milkman, which doesn't exist. So Tagore was not in favor of exoticizing, but I think to some extent he was a victim of the predicament of his time, which was to some extent filled with Orientalist exoticism. So he sort of, to some extent, was a victim of that. We'll just kind of... lay out this, right?
Just pause a bit. Now this is basically the first production of Dankar, which happened in Kolkata after the independence, by Bohorupi. It's one of the most important theatre groups in Kolkata. And why I thought that I would include this track, because it's very important the sound which is generated in the production process, because when you read a text and when it is performed, there are certainly different kinds of spaces that is generated, and it is in the words, the way in which Bengali language evolves. And since we're talking about translation somewhere, sometimes the soundscape or the sound element that emerges out of a certain pronunciation of a certain word in a particular language can generate different kinds of space. I think what Elizabeth was telling yesterday about scalling of the room, I thought that would be interesting to include a section of it, and then we will proceed accordingly.
Yogurt. Guta, yogurt, Guta, yogurt, Guta, yogurt, Guta, yogurt, Guta, yogurt.
It's about, like you could make out from this performative, that it's also about temporality, a certain kind of temporal translation of different temporal orders that come to inhabit this modernist moment. Here, Amal asks a very innocent question to different people. Had he not asked that in the innocence, in the garb of innocence, he would sound a kind of schizophrenic person who is kind of trying to put himself under the skin of everybody, like whosoever appears before him, a milk seller, a milkman, to a beggar, to a priest, to a traveler, to a postman. So these are kind of different characters which appear before him and who he wants to be. So that Amal asks an innocent question in turn to the prohari, that means the guard. Amal asks, "Will you not ring the bell, guard?" Guard says, "It's not yet time." Amal, "Some people say time is flowing. Some say it's not yet time. Okay, if you ring the bell, it will be time, right?" The guard says, "Can it happen? It cannot happen. I can ring the bell only when it's time." Amal says, "I do like your ringing bell. I do like it." And so on. He sort of reenacts that whole thing. He says, he describes the whole scenario during which his bell rings, and he says, when this all this activity goes on and comes to when, then your bell rings. Dong, dong, dong. Why does it ring? The guard says, the bell says to everybody that it's not standing still. Time is not standing still. It doesn't sleep. It just flows away. Now, this is a scene of Raktakarabi being, this is another play, Raktakarabi Red Olinda, being played in India Culture Center in 1961. The audience comprises of the immigrant Indians in Iraq, at the centenary year of Tagore. Unlike the post office, which despite being a small play, only 51 pages long, single-sided manuscript, Raktakarabi arranged enormous poetic and critical attention within poet's own mental life, and lived many lives as an allegory inside poet's own creative process. He has got at least 5 written textual versions by the poet. It, on the one hand, transcends event relation of quasi-real texts like Dalkor, which he described as a lyrical prose. It has reception-related resonance within the dramatic community inside and outside Shantiniketan, which is represented by Bahurupi, and one of whose texts on Dalkor you just listened to. Most of the text and production details which produces an inner circulation of myths inside Shantiniketan and were not attended by scholars or artists. This is now the scene of Red Oleander, which has a king inside it, which the king is not again visible, but his voice can be heard. This is the king with the intruder, Nandini. Now, in talking to going back to Borobaski and my conversation with him about his production, I asked, what are the problems that you encountered? He says there are characters like Raja or the king, Nandini, the girl, the intruder, and the Bishu Pagla, somebody who is a madman, who is in the Sufi sense of the term, madman. And he says that I'm trying to work out a production script. I'm trying to arrive at a relationship, a parity between Santali concept of king and the leader that is described by Tagore. He says the translation is not is literature alone, but it is culture. He says, for instance, we have Laban or the New Rice Festival. He says, yes, we have a different name, but they slaughter animals and drink alcohol, so it cannot be included. And he laughs. There could be completely different connotations, like the Red Oriented Tagore says, and wherein workers are kept under the influence of alcohol, are being exploited, and the actual use of liquor in Santali society, and the translatory problematic between the two. So I ask, have you ever thought of translating Dakar? He says, I was part of a project led by Jadavpur University. It came via Martinda. I was about to translate the easy one. For him, Dakar was the easy one because it describes a simple landscape common people, filled with common people. But Mr. Lal suggested that if this is your first project, you should take up the most complex one, because apparently it's most layered and the most complex one, so it will pose him with problematic relationships. Apart from the dramatic text and his interpretations, there are potential pedagogic and critical components in these two plays, which cause the presence of power structure described as royalty or raja, and temporal authority and potential and compensatory raja, or the king of kings, which sort of, you know, appears in the form of dialogue in Dakar or the post office. For instance, I just quote the page 38 of Dakar in his manuscript. Amal says, Fakir means the mendicant, do you know the king who has set up the post office? Grandad says, yes, of course I know him. I go with my begging bowl to him. Amal asks, okay, all right, when I get well, I'll also be begging to him. There's an ambiguity about Bhikkha. The postcolonial critics like Dipesh sees it as a sign of emancipatory transcendence in transforming the term vikari to bhikkhu. Bhikkhu is a Buddhist term, which sort of translates, going around with a begging bowl transforms into something that is compulsory for the Buddhist and transformatory for the Buddhist in leaving out the ego and going with the begging bowl for a good work. Another transformation is that, and scope for interpretive ambiguity occurs when the king's doctor comes in the last scene of death or deliverance of Amal and orders for all lights to be switched off and the room be lit by the starlight alone. Madhav, Amal's uncle, the materialist person, says, Eki, erawa ghar andhukar kore diyeche keno? Tarar alote amar ki hobe? Translation, why are they switching off all the lamps? What shall I do with the starlight? Thakurda say, chup karo, avishashi patha koyna. Translation, shut up, you disbeliever, don't talk. The pedagogic aspect is that Rabindranath wrote to Ajit Chakravarti, his most trusted teacher at the time, in the same year, that here in Shantiniketan we are trying to set up a village society. We have to struggle with the first obstacle, The first obstacle is the obstacle of human heart. Once you earn the trust, the rest will be easier. Tagore says to Ajit, you better open up the human mindscape before the young people. They should understand the truth of the mental world. There's a terrible stasis in this area in our country. We don't believe that thinking and imagination relate to idea and ideal. That's why all ideas such as democracy and patriotism are interpreted in the static and iconic, he uses the word potolik, which means that it's a doll-like conservative aspects. That's why the external aspects of other cultures are not easily internalized by us, and everything which you borrow turns into extraneous and fixed images, not dynamic thoughts. They don't become strong and grounded. They break up like clay toys. Tagore uses marginalia in a very creative way. He leaves half his page empty. He left half his page empty all the time while writing plays, not writing novel, not writing anything else, not writing poetry. I mean, the reason for which you can understand very easily if you go through some of his manuscripts, and their marginalias are filled with critical notes, innovations, character innovations, dialogue innovations. Innovative parts take place in the marginalia. So that is a critical aspect. There is this critical exercise, internal critical exercise. Like we said in the morning session, that Tagore often is expected to be a public intellectual, which he was in his time, but his performances are often inner, and translations do occur outside, but it gets rehearsed inside. So plays are often a repository of this inner dialogue and contradictions. And in that note, I'll just read out how in Dr. Korobi's conclusion, he concludes the play with a kind of rejoinder to the people who have apparently commissioned him to write the play. He says, today in this civil society, you have called me to produce a play for you. Now, I'm always afraid of the powerful people's inquisitiveness. I strongly believe that when my play is over, you will not be very kind to me. And then you will be letting off some of your cronies against me. They will be up to tearing me apart, or tear my play apart, and then I cannot be trusted anymore. So he sort of expresses his mistrust about the interpretive community there. But at the same time, you'll see that he says that there are relationships of trust, and then he sort of says how he wanted to rewrite Ramayana, the Indian epic, in the garb of this contemporary or contemporaneized play, which is a struggle between those who sort of grab world's wealth from underneath the earth and suck the earth dry. And he then says that individual human beings are candy of many kind, but then there are two kinds of classes of people. One kinds of people are Koshak, which means that those who plow the earth. The next set of people are people who suck the earth dry. So Shoshak, people who suck the earth dry. So there are two kinds of people in terms of class relations. That is what he says. And sitting in Germany, this letter is written to Prashant Mahalanobish, a statistician developed his theory sitting in Shantiniketan. Shantiniketan was not a production, was not a place for aesthetics alone, but the statistician worked there, sitting in collaboration in the office of Tagore. in collaboration with Tagore, developed this agricultural economics, agroeconomics department over there. And so he says that there I didn't paint that in the light of the mythological time, because mythological time, the exploitative atmosphere would be different. But that shade of that past, the trace of that past, comes to inhabit my play. Some people can decipher it, some people can't decipher it. And I want it to remain ambiguous, because those who can decipher it, they might attack me in the name of tradition. Those who can decipher it and be hurt, because they are part of that whole critical, I mean, they might think that critical parameters are directed against them, they might attack me for that reason. So, so the last few lines, just read out. There is this character. Without describing the character, you cannot get into it. So there are these characters like King, who lives inside a room. He cannot be seen. Only his fist, sometimes clenched fist, comes out when he is very angry through the window. And it's beyond the window, beyond the reach of this entire ongoing, which is like a setting of a that of a factory, that of a mine. It's like a mining community around, which surrounds the king. The king is the center of this, of that, people who generally suck the earth dry. He is the leader of that. But he is a lonely person. So this is the first time he's in four different versions. This king appears in four different garb. Sometimes he's extremely cruel, but in face of, in touch with Nandini, when in touch with this young girl who sort of instigates everyone, provokes everybody, and also can influence everybody with her liveliness, the king transforms and becomes a self-destructive machine. So he finally ends up destroying his whole empire. So that deliverance that comes in the form of Amal, that is a purity, symbol of purity, getting a deliverance in one sense, getting over the, I mean, like, transcends the whole parameter or protocol of the real world and gets into another world, apparently by suggestion in the post office, comes in another garb where King self-destroys himself. The benevolent king to malevolent king, two different aspects of the king. In one, king lives with that whole, protocol of the real and suggestive of the empire, higher authorities, etc. In other, that whole garb goes. It's an entire psychological play based on a kind of, in a realistic setting of capitalist exploitation of sorts. I just read out a few last few lines, which he struck off, sort of, in the manuscript. Eibar pranidhan korun, I'll just translate it short way. Oi dekhun jokkhopuri rajar janlar baire nondini eshi dakadaki korchi. Adbhut ei janla, jaler toiri. Er bhitorkar rahasyo bairer loke kichui jane na. নাট্যের ঘটনাটি যতটুকু দেখা যাচ্ছে সমস্ত এই জালের জানলার বাইরে. নাও ট্রাই টু কম্প্রিহেন্ড, লুক এট দ্য কিংস উইন্ডো আউটসাইড হুইচ নন্দিনী ইজ জাস্ট কলিং দ্য কিং. দ্য উইন্ডো ইজ ভেরি স্ট্রেঞ্জ, ইটস মেড অফ ওয়্যার মেশ. আউটসাইডার্স ডোন্ট নো দ্য মিস্ট্রি ইনসাইড দ্য উইন্ডো. The entire play is happening outside the window and without anybody comprehending the real nature of the king. Now, Sanchan will enact.
I would just like to introduce the kind of sound process which initially I tried to share. It's basically part of a sound game which was practiced by Badal Sarkar. He is one of the, I think, most important politically active theatre personality in Calcutta. And he introduced a particular kind of a theatre form called third theatre, which was trying to break the proscenium structure of theatre performance and do live performance in not street but in alternative spaces. And Badal Sarkar used to give emphasis more on kind of theatre games as a process of understanding certain relationships. So, and I had the opportunity to work with him for some time. But he also staged Rakta Korobi, the Red Oleander, which Amshuman was trying to say, and in a totally different way where all the spaces could overlap in a sense, because it's going to be a square rectangular space where no specific point of entry, and the king would be visible with the network, with the ropes, and the ropes will be carried by four or five men in front of him. So as the king moves, the whole net will be transforming in front of the thing. So I thought that it's to sort of try to take some words from Rakta Korobi and relate it to the king as he symbolized. So Amshuman suggested these words, and I will try to again work with the sound game and see how it can be transformed. So basically we will travel from Ban, which means frog in English, then to Raja, which is king in English. Mm-hmm. And Ban is a synonym, in a sense, or the Raja is always trying to analyze the frog. That's one of the symbolism which is part of the Rakta Korobi text, basically. So just try it. Bang, 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 wang, wang, rang, 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 frog, 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 ah. King.
Pyari Chand Mitra, the eminent social satirist, found that the only primitive jatis or the primitive races, like the Santas, he used the jati term jati, which can be, you know, used as a translation of race, rough translation. Like Santas displayed an undifferentiated unity, while civilized Indians always remained scattered. It's a 19th century pronouncement, so you should excuse me on that. The question of unity thus continued to haunt the Bengali middle classes and was a historical question set forth more sharply in counterpoise to primitive societies. To Akshay Dutta, the editor of Dutta Bodhini magazine, primordiality was a temporal stage where there was no correspondence between human propensities and natural laws. There was a time when humankind was still unable to produce itself intellectually. So he saw social vitality to be an internal quality of human beings, and then that internal quality resides in primitive. This is the kind of middle classes anxiety about the primitive that gets replicated in the 19th century text of thinking about the other. The two-play walk, the two-way play between internal and the external forms the problematic of translation. I sort of end the presentation with just a short
আপনার দুটো জিনিস নিয়ে, একটা তো এডুকেশনাল সাইড, যে এডুকেশন আপনি একটা রিসার্চ করেছিলেন যে এডুকেশন কিভাবে, ওটা নিয়ে যদি কিছু বলেন, এডুকেশন কিভাবে একটা ওই কম্প্যাটেবল এডুকেশন যেটা আপনি বলছেন এখন, যে একটা জনজাতির সাথে কাজ করতে হলে বা আদিবাসী সমাজের সাথে কাজ করতে হলে তার মানসিক স্থিতিটা বুঝতে হবে আর কি, বোঝবার ব্যাপার আছে। ফলে এই ইন্টারনাল যে কনফিগারেশনটা যেটা নিয়ে আপনি রিসার্চ করেছেন শুনেছি, যে এডুকেশনাল রিসার্চ যে কীভাবে করলে, মানে কোন ভাষা ভাষা দিয়ে পড়ালে ওইটা হয়, কোন মানে শুধু ল্যাঙ্গুয়েজ না কন্টেন্ট, কী 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 কন্টেন্ট অ্যাকসেপ্টেবল কন্টেন্ট মনে হয়।
I'm asking Borubaski about the content of education as well as the medium of education. What he, I mean, what does he decide over as compatible for the Santhali community, which, and he is the translator of Rapta Karagi, Great Oriental, in Santhali. And he has done the translation.
এরম ক্ষেত্রে কি রবীন্দ্রনাথ কি কখনো ইউজফুল মনে হয়েছে আপনারা, আপনি যেমন ট্রান্সলেট করেছেন একটা জায়গায়, তো এটা আমার ইন্টারেস্টিং লেগেছিল যে রবীন্দ্রনাথের ক্ষেত্রে আপনি যেহেতু বিশ্ববাদিত আপনি পড়েছেন, রবীন্দ্রনাথের সাথে আপনি পরিচিত, আপনি ট্রান্সলেট করছেন রক্ত করবি, খুব ইন্টারেস্টিং সেটা আমার লেগেছিল। সঞ্চয়নী আগে বলেছেন, তারপর বৈদ্যনাথও বলবেন ট্রান্সলেট করেছেন।
So I just ask him about translation and translating culture and translating Rakta Gauravi. How does it work? And he gives me examples here.
রবীন্দ্রনাথ তো অবশ্যই আছেন, কারণ রবীন্দ্রনাথ তো আমরা যে বিষয়গুলো এখন আলোচনা করছি উনি তো সব জায়গায় আছেন, আর উনি তো প্রাসঙ্গিক কতদিন থাকবেন আমরা জানি না, কারণ উনি এমন একটা জায়গায় থেকে দাঁড়িয়ে বিষয়গুলোকে দেখেছেন, উন্নয়ন এবং পরিবর্তন শুধু আমাদের নয়, শুধু বাংলাদেশ সমাজ নয়, সারা বিশ্বের, সেটা একটা কি বলবো একটা ইউনিভার্সাল একটা জায়গা আছে।
Talking about development, developmental paradigm and the changes, the paradigm of changes that Tagore had seen from a global perspective, sitting there, and he doesn't know, he says, how long that will remain relevant, but he says, so far as he is concerned, he is extremely relevant, Tagore is extremely relevant for him and for their society. But he often says that also translating Tagore in Tagore's song becomes problematic, because somebody had tried doing it and was much appreciated by the Bengali community, the elite Bengali community like us, rather than Santhalis, indigenous Santhalis, because the translation, it was lost in translation, the entire spirit was not completely translatable, and that's what he's struggling with at the moment. In interpreting Raja or King, trying to find a cultural parallel between their community's sense of leader and king and the Raja, that the king that Tagore imagined in 19th century. I leave in that note. Thank you very much.
We have 5 or 10 minutes to have a drink, and then Adrian will present his.
Not long.
No, five.
Five.